The first number a lot of people seek out for clues to the health of the economy is the unemployment rate, and it is very low in Oregon at the moment. The preliminary rate for the month of March, seasonally adjusted, is 3.8%. Just for comparison, the national rate for March is 4.5%. California's for the same period is even higher than that at 4.9%. The regional variations are about what you'd expect, with southwestern Oregon, the region we serve, a bit higher than the state average. Let's get into and behind the numbers. Two guests, David Cook is an economist and the Industry Employment Statistics Coordinator at the Oregon Employment Department. Hi, David.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good to have you here. Tim Dewey is back with us as well. He's also an economist and the Senior Director at the Oregon Economic Forum at the University of Oregon. Hi, Tim. Good to hear you again.
Well, thank you for having me.
David Cook, let's start with you. The basic numbers, what are we looking at here?
Well, we put out the Oregon unemployment rate recently, and it was 3.8% in March, so that's the record low. And the unemployment rate has been dropping for the past several years now. It did reach a high of almost 12% back in 2009 following the Great Recession, but it's been dropping rapidly and for a long time now, and it's down to 3.8%. And then locally, we see the rate is a little bit higher, like you said, in Douglas County, 5.1%, Jackson, 4.0%, Josephine County, 4.5%. So a little higher in the southwestern Oregon region, but still, those areas are pretty close to their record lows as well.
David, the numbers keep getting referred to in terms of 1976. Is there something that happened in 1976 that changed the way the unemployment report is compiled?
Well, that's the current data series that we have. It starts in 1976, and that's true for all states. And the concepts were the same before that, but there's some slight differences where the data just is not strictly comparable. Prior to that time, I was looking at some of the data before that. And, for example, back in 1951, it got down to 4.0% in Oregon. And then in May of 66, it was down to 4.1%. So pretty close to where we are now. But technically, strictly comparable, we need to look at 1976 and going forward.
Okay, so this is a record indeed, 3.8% for Oregon. And again, you mentioned numbers for Douglas, Jackson, Josephine. I can add to that Lane County at 4.1, Klamath at 5.7, Coos at 5.2, and Curry at 6.0. Tim Dewey at the University of Oregon, just by the raw numbers, do you find any things to get excited about here?
Oh, no, I find the whole situation to be fairly exciting. You know, this is quite a long economic expansion at this point. It'll be 8 years this summer. And we've seen fairly consistent progress throughout that period of time. Not only is the unemployment rate falling, but that's also happening in the context of a rising labor force. We have more people coming to the state, working in the state, and getting jobs in the state. And I think it tells a really good picture. For the state's economy as a whole.
So the long view on wages, though, I mean, this is low unemployment, but how do medium wages compare with similar periods of low unemployment in previous decades even?
Well, we know that one of the issues in the background here is that there's still an issue of rising inequality throughout the U.S. in general, and our areas are going to be no different. And we would like to see faster wage growth going forward. It's still a little bit below what I would consider normal in this kind of cycle. However, there's some other factors that are probably dragging down wage growth somewhat, including productivity growth, the ability to make stuff, make goods and services with less stuff, and that is in some sense beyond what we have policies at the state and local level to really deal with.
Does this make it something of a seller's market in the sense of it's really advantageous to workers to have an unemployment rate this low, that it gets harder to get people into jobs and therefore you have to offer them more?
Yes. That's one of the reasons that we would like to see the unemployment rate get as low as it is, so that we do have a more competitive market for labor. And that would hopefully bring up the wage growth as we move, as the market stays fairly tight. So I think this is exactly the kind of situation we've been looking for a number of years now, as we've been hoping to get the unemployment rate to a level that would suggest that labor markets are much more normal, and I think we're there. Now, of course, the flip side is that firms will face greater wage pressures, and they will have to figure out how to deal with those pressures in the context of an economy that doesn't seem to support huge increases in prices.
We are talking about the Oregon unemployment rate, which officially for March at the moment stands at 3.8%. There is an adjustment we'll talk about in just a second. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about not just what the number represents, but what it represents for people. We're talking to Tim Dewey at the University of Oregon and David Cook at the Oregon Employment Department. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, David, about that adjustment, the numbers do come out and then tend to get revised later. Where do we get the two sets of numbers?
For the unemployment rate, well, the Bureau of Labor Statistics works with each state, and in our case, it's the Oregon Employment Department works with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the numbers do get revised every year. And what we've seen the past couple of years is we've seen some very low numbers at the start of the year, and then those troughs have gotten revised away a little bit, so it's more of a smooth and steady decline over the last several years. The reason they get revised is the unemployment rate is based on several different inputs, and the primary input is from a survey of households conducted by the U.S. Census Bureau. And there's only about 1,000 households in Oregon that are on this survey, and so you do have some sampling error associated with that. And what can happen is the monthly numbers, just the pure numbers from the survey, they can really vary quite a bit. And then there's a statistical model that smooths out the variability. But then again, once a year, it gets revised when even more data comes in.
So what's the usual trend? I mean, do we think this number might actually go down a little more, or is it likely to go up just a bit?
In the next few months? Well,
the number for March in particular that we're talking about now.
Oh, for March. Typically, the number will not get revised for the next month because we always have a preliminary and then a revised figure the next month. It's pretty rare that that number will get changed during that period. But next March, we'll publish all the revised data going back several years. And there's a good chance that 3.8 will be revised 1 or 2 or 3 tenths. Either way, we don't really know for sure which way. But it could easily get revised slightly. But it's still close to 4%, very low historically, and it's indicating a very tight labor market. And that's not going to change with the revisions, that general assessment.
Okay. And there's a seasonal adjustment always put in here as well on the graph. And so what does that mean?
Right. So a lot of these economic variables are highly seasonal, and the unemployment rate in Oregon is fairly seasonal. And typically, the more people are working, for example, in September, as certain industries like food processing are really kicking in. So normally, the not seasonally adjusted unemployment rate is typically going to be lower in the summer months and higher in the winter months. And so there's a process whereby we seasonally adjust the data, and then that takes out the normal fluctuation due to seasonality, and we could tell what's happening with the business cycle.
Tim Dewey, a long number of years as an economist, in fact, worked for the U.S. Treasury, so probably steeped in numbers any day of the week. When these particular numbers come out with Oregon's monthly seasonally adjusted employment rate, where do you go first? What are some of the sub-numbers you look at?
Well, generally, for the sub numbers, I'm looking at the two things. One is the employment data itself to see which sectors of the economy are growing jobs more rapidly than other sectors. And then I'll also look at the labor force growth to see if the decline in the unemployment rate is because people have left the labor force or because we've just added a significant number of more jobs. So I try to parse out those two parts of the data to see really what's going on. We would really like an environment where we're not just creating jobs. We're just not lowering the unemployment rate because people are leaving the labor force. We want an environment where people are entering the labor force and getting jobs, and that process is by which we're seeing the unemployment rate decline.
You hit on a big issue there, though, about people who are not looking for work. If they're not looking for work, they don't get counted in the unemployment numbers. David Cook, I'm going to ask you that question.
You know, it's a common misconception, and it's a good thing to talk about. The unemployment rate is It's an estimate, and what it does is it estimates every person into one of three categories. They're either employed, or they're unemployed, or they're not in the labor force. And it's an estimate of those three items. And a person who is not looking for work, they are not going to be considered unemployed, because to be considered unemployed, they have to be actively seeking work and not have a job. And so the this current population survey that we talked about, it does categorize each person that's in the households that are surveyed into those three categories. And it's not based on administrative data. It's just based on that survey, and it's based on questions that are asked of the head of the household.
But if somebody who was not considered in the labor force in March looks at the numbers for March and April and decides, well, shoot, this is a good time to look for work, does that bump up the labor pool and potentially the unemployment rate with it?
Yes. If a person enters into the labor force, in other words, if the last month they weren't looking for a job and then this month they start actively looking for a job and they still haven't gotten a job, then they would be considered unemployed during the most recent month, and that would boost the labor force and also boost the number of unemployed. And that's what we've seen a little bit over the past year, where the labor force participation rate has gone up a little bit. So you have some people that are apparently jumping into the job market that were the past year they were not actively looking for a job.
Okay, we're talking about the unemployment rate in Oregon dropped to its lowest level on record, 3.8% seasonally adjusted for March. We're talking to David Cook at the Employment Department and Tim Dewey at the University of Oregon, Oregon Economic Forum. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the exchange.
Morning, Jeffrey.
Howdy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I could be totally mistaken about this, but if I understand correctly, there's a multi-tiered minimum wage going on in the state of Oregon right now. And now does this have anything to do with it, or is it a red herring? And I'm just talking apples when there's oranges being done. And Jeffrey, I'll take any comments they have off the radio.
All right, thanks for that, Jamie. Tim Dewey, you want to take that on?
Well, I think understanding the implications of the minimum wage has always been a real challenge for economists. It's rumored that this is one of the sure ways to start a fight in an economics department is to discuss this particular issue. I don't think that the multi-tiered issue itself is really factoring into these low unemployment rates we're seeing right now. I think the reason we're seeing these low unemployment rates is a period of fairly solid economic growth that has extended well beyond just the major metro areas and beyond that to smaller metro areas as well, and that's really the driving force here. What is interesting is that in this kind of tight labor market, it certainly makes it easier to implement higher minimum wages because in many cases firms would have had to find themselves. Would have found themselves having to pay for higher wages to begin with in order to get the workers they need.
All right. Well, since this can start a fight between economists, David Cook, where do you come in on this?
Well, I'm not going to pick a fight with Tim. I highly respect his views. I can add some insights. One of the things that we track is how many jobs there are in each major industry. And a lot of minimum wage jobs in Oregon are in restaurants, and that's in the category leisure and hospitality. One thing that's been interesting over the past year and a half or so is leisure and hospitality employment growth has slowed dramatically. And, for example, it's one of the slower growing industries over the past year. It's up 1,400 jobs, less than 1% growth, whereas the total private sector is up 2.3%. So I don't know how much of that is due to the increases in the minimum wage. I don't know how much is due to just employers having a hard time finding qualified people to work and because the labor market's so tight. But it is kind of an interesting situation, and it corresponds in timing, at least, with some of these minimum wage increases. Another thing that we can look at is we have some data that's called private sector average wages per hour, and that's from the monthly survey of businesses that I work with. And that measure has been $25.56 per hour in February and then 2552 in March. That's up 5.3% over the year. So that measure of wages is growing very rapidly, and it's accelerated substantially recently. And this Oregon data series is jumping a lot quicker than at the U.S. level, which is going up about around 2.5%. But we have seen this acceleration in wages overall, and part of that is probably due to the increases in the minimum wage.
When you talk about the slow growth in leisure and hospitality, so the whole sector is growing slowly, or just the growth of wages there?
Oh, that was the talk about just the jobs. Mm-hmm. How many jobs there are? For example, leisure and hospitality was close to 200,000 jobs in March. So it's a big chunk of the overall payroll employment. It's around 11 or 12%. And it's mostly restaurants, but it also includes hotels and ski resorts, that kind of stuff. But mostly restaurants. And so the employment growth has really slowed. It's still growing, but just not as fast as most other industries over the past year.
Yeah, I would add that we had a faculty member here at the University of Oregon who did some work on the Oregon minimum wage raises in the 1990s. And one of the interesting things he found was that there were certain jobs, particularly in the restaurant industry, for example, that were heavily impacted by the minimum wage. And I think he pointed to bussers in particular, that you got rid of the bussers for the tables, and those jobs had to be done by the wait staff.
Okay, and is this the kind of thing that people would notice anecdotally right away because the stuff is left on the table longer when they come into a restaurant?
That could be, another way to think about that is your wait staff had to have higher productivity, which means they needed to get more done during their shift in order to compensate for the higher wages.
Oh, sure, because they're doing their own jobs and the jobs that used to be done by other
people. Exactly, so it's a higher productivity position.
All right, we'll continue talking a few minutes more with Tim Dewey and David Cook about the Oregon unemployment figures, 3.8% seasonally adjusted for March. You can join us at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Some of the sectors here represented behind the numbers, and I want to talk to you, Tim, about things like manufacturing. Notice in Jackson County that's essentially unchanged in manufacturing from March of 2016. What's the situation a little more broadly across Oregon in manufacturing, which obviously with the rise of President Trump has become more of an issue across the country?
Right, and manufacturing is was a sector that actually was struggling for the last couple of years, and I don't want to say I don't want to say struggling as in it was going downhill. What was really happening was we had a pretty significant hit to the manufacturing industry from a stronger dollar and the decrease in oil prices, and so we did see some stabilization in those numbers, and it started to pick back a little bit lately. So that's been fairly good news for that sector, But as a broader point, as a percentage of the economy, as a percentage of the labor force, it's really been declining for a number of years, and it's hard to see a lot of policies that are really going to bring back manufacturing jobs on a large scale. I think that's really a challenge that the president's agenda has or faces. In general, I would expect that future manufacturing will increasingly rely on more capital and less labor, which means it is, again, a higher productivity job just because labor is fairly expensive. And over time, capital, machines, robots, et cetera, has become increasingly cheaper. So I would expect that any onshoring or reshoring of manufacturing was lost overseas would really be a fairly capital-intensive enterprise and not generate a huge amount of job growth.
And two government jobs, which shows up in the reports in several counties. Josephine County, for example, was pretty much unchanged in government jobs over a year ago, which raises the question, casting forward then, to the situation with the state of Oregon's budget. And I wonder if large layoffs or even jobs lost to attrition because of budget issues end up making a big difference in employment numbers. David Cook?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to really speculate on the forward-looking information because in my job I don't do forecasting. But one of the things about the government employment that's pretty clear historically is it tends to lag the business cycles. For example, total government employment peaked in 2010 in Oregon, and then it dropped throughout the next few years, reaching a low in 2013. So the private sector had already recovered considerably by then, and then employment started to grow again over the next several years. So it is the cycle in government employment tends to lag 2 or 3 years behind the private sector. Where it goes from here with the state and local governments depends on the budgets and depends on population growth. So those are a couple of the key factors.
I have never seen some of the things I saw in this report, like Benton County's unemployment rate was 2.9%. Have you ever seen a rate that low anywhere, David?
Well, if you look at the current rates for different states, I think there's a couple that are a little bit lower than that. So, you know, throughout the U.S., the Oregon, typically the rate's a little bit higher than the U.S., and Benton County, home of Corvallis, is typically one of the lowest in Oregon. But you're right, the 2% range is historically very unusual and almost unprecedented for any areas of Oregon.
Tim Dewey, give us a sense of what might happen from here and really how much of any of this is really within Oregon's control. I mean, if the Fed continues to hike interest rates, is there a good chance there'll be some more jobs shed by the economy?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question because, you know, we tend to be a state that has a lot of influence from the national cycle. And sooner or later, it is more likely than not that we'll have another recession. So what I think we're hoping for, what the Federal Reserve is shooting for, is to start bringing about stability, more stability in the national unemployment rate, and that would presumably filter through to state-level unemployment rates as well. The Federal Reserve believes we're pretty close on a national basis to full employment and doesn't want to basically undershoot the unemployment rate for a sustained amount of time because they worry that that would eventually set the stage for inflationary conditions in the U.S., and they want to avoid those because they really do fear that they don't have sufficient control over the economy. They can just sort of raise the unemployment rate a couple percentage points or a couple tenths of a percentage point. That if they don't sort of stay ahead of the economy a little bit, that they're more likely to cause a recession than not. So
all
what
right.
we're hoping is
okay.
That
we've got to go here, Tim.
Oh,
Dewey,
okay, sorry.
Yeah, Tim Dewey, the University of Oregon. Thank you, David Cook at the Oregon Employment Department. Good to talk to you both about Oregon's low unemployment rate.
Thank you, Jeffrey.